Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So every Thursday during Montana's legislative session, we typically try to do a legislative update once a week with representatives from both chambers, both parties. And typically they were quick updates, you know, because they were busy with committee hearings and action on the floor of their respective chambers, et cetera. So sometimes it would just be a quick conversation. Sometimes we'd have to skip the update because the floor action was just a little too busy that day. But one thing we really wanted to do was, after the dust settled on Montana's legislative session, now that they've adjourned, now that the governor has signed some more bills into law, vetoed some bills as well, we wanted to take some time and do a full hour legislative session recap with both Montana Senate President Matt Regeer, a Republican out of Kalispell, and also Montana House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin, a Democrat out of Missoula. And so that's what we're doing today for the full hour. And the reason why we're doing the full hour is because we want you to get a chance to throw out your questions, throw out your comments. So give us a call, 406-294-0970, if you want to jump in on the conversation. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's start, before we get to our first break here, let's start with House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin. Representative Carlin, great to have you back on the show. What are some of the questions you're now fielding as you're back home in Missoula?
Hey, Aaron, thanks for having me on. I've missed spending my Thursday morning with you and your listeners. In terms of questions since I've gotten back, I would say the top question has been about property taxes, because they've seen the articles, they know we passed something, but I mean, property taxes are complex, and so I've spent a lot of time explaining to people what we did in the legislature and what they should be able to expect, and I'm happy to get into that a little bit. I've also gotten questions just about the budget, trying to understand what's in the budget, what's not in the budget, and then also on schools. You know, in a lot of areas, we've had our schools really struggling financially, and they want to know, did the legislature do something? And I've told them, yes, I think we've made real progress. Not perfect, but I think that we have done good bipartisan work around our school funding this year.
Yeah, I could see a lot of people still have a lot of questions about the property tax relief. Who might see an increase? How much will residential property taxes feel the relief? Senate President Matt Regeer, 30 seconds before the break here. I'd imagine that's probably the biggest questions you're getting too, right?
Yeah, good morning, Montana. Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Representative Carlin. Great to be on here. Same kind of deal. I think Montana's across the board worried about taxes. And not just, you know, during the session, too, I heard about income taxes. So that we can talk about that in there, too. It's income taxes. I think just the tax burden in general is something that everybody's concerned about, obviously.
All right. Yeah, especially in light of the inflation that's hit everybody over the last 4 years in particular, people still feeling the sting in their pocketbooks. So, frankly, any tax relief in that regard seems to be welcome news. Okay, hold that thought. Now's a great chance for you to call in, 294-0970.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. By the way, speaking of tax relief, budgets, you know, we're talking about the Montana legislature today, but big news that developed overnight and into the morning, the House of Representatives has passed that one big, beautiful bill, which makes the Trump tax cuts permanent and much more. So, yeah, lots of big news on that front. But back to the Montana legislature here, since we started with Representative Carlin in the first segment, let's go to President Matt Regeer. So, President Regeer, you know, the big thing that we've been hearing from a lot of our listeners is they're hopeful that the governor will veto some of these big spending bills and peel back a lot of that spending that got across the finish line during the legislative session. He's already vetoed some legislation citing spending concerns. What are you hearing? Do you think he'll peel back some of the bigger spending bills that got across the finish line?
Yeah, a lot of the big spending bills still haven't hit his desk. They're still waiting, I think, for the speaker and myself to sign to get there. But he has already started vetoing a lot of those noxious weed trusts, $10 million, a lot of grants. So he's already been vetoing a lot of the spending that the legislative branch did. So it's our budget grew general fund by 18%, which is huge. I know we had unprecedented surpluses, but to me, that's the time we need to tighten our belt as a government and cut back on the efficiencies. To me, that's the disappointment of really kind of the last three sessions of where has been the efficiencies. And I keep asking that of we had a Democrat governor for 16 years, and now we've got all Republicans across the board, and we've done some great tax relief. There's been a lot of good things that Governor Gene Forte has signed that I will applaud all day long. But one thing that I think we could do better at and look forward in the future is finding some efficiencies there in government and the Montana Doge. Where is our Montana Doge? And I keep saying that. I said that on the Senate floor, saying that now our budget grew by 18%, general fund 10%, all funds. That's just not sustainable going into the future. Even what we left the governor there, it's estimated to be 4 years out where it was statutorily hit where he would have to make spending cuts on his own, which is, to me, below the 4% ending fund. So that to me, is very fiscally irresponsible, especially in a time of such a surplus. Yeah. So a lot of good things that happened, but a lot of improvement too.
Yeah, a Doge for Montana. A lot of our listeners also have talked about why not a Doge for some of these cities and some of these counties as well, which are the big drivers of property taxes. Back to Democrat Representative Jonathan Carlin. You know, a lot of these spending bills got across the finish line because of a handful of Republicans teamed up with Democrats to get those things across the finish line. Are you hopeful that some of this stuff will get vetoed, or are you hoping that the governor will keep it in place? What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
So I am hoping that the governor is going to keep most of these bills in place. And here's the reason. I think it's easy just to talk about spending bills, but let's look at what the money's being spent on. The money is being spent on our K-12 schools. It's the lifeblood of our rural communities. You know, I had a bill to invest in our child care system because we know, I just saw an article yesterday in Great Falls, folks who want to work can't even find child care so that they're not able to work. That's something that the business community supports. So I think that when we're talking about spending bills, you know, I mean, one of the bills the governor vetoed was about educational materials in the classroom, about textbooks. He vetoed another bill about coverage for hearing aids because of the cost to the state. So these spending bills, I think, really improve the lives of people. We wouldn't be in the situation of having to cut spending bills if we didn't pass such a large income tax cut, which largely benefits higher earners and has a huge fiscal cost to the state.
You know, speaking of income tax cuts, going back to Senate President Regeer, you highlighted that as one of the good things that came out of the legislative session. You know, and what have we seen? Every time you guys have cut income taxes, it's actually created more revenue, right?
Yeah, and that is the fundamental difference. And Representative Carlin, I should appreciate you coming on here for an hour to go back and forth. Great guy. I love chatting with Jonathan. But obviously, we come at it from different angles, and that is conservative Republican is government doesn't have a solution to all this. As you heard Representative Carlin say, it's we don't care about the end of fund. It's all good stuff. Let's just spend. And we come at it as more as I think Montanans, individuals and Montana families know better what to do with their dollars than the government does. And so that's why, House Bill 337 by Speaker Lear takes $270 million and leaves it back in Montanans, families and individuals and Montana businesses' pockets. government doesn't need that money. You guys know better what to do with your money than we do at the state. Obviously, we just spend it, as you saw this session, and as you heard Representative say, it's all good stuff. Let's just spend.
Yeah, and then back to Representative Carlin here before the next break, and we'll get to your calls and more. Representative Carlin, you know, even Lou Jones, who's considered one of the more moderate Republicans, he talked about the Trump bump back when, Democrat Governor Bullock was in office, that, you know, thanks to the Trump tax cuts, we actually saw a bump in revenue here in Montana. So it would seem the tax cuts will actually help us get more revenue down the road.
Well, I'll just say one thing I appreciate about chatting with the Senate President is that we're both trying to do the same thing, right? We're trying to put more money in the pockets of our constituents. But I'll say my concern about the income tax cuts is for a family earning, let's just say, $70,000, for example. They're getting, in the last analysis I saw, is a couple $100. Right? They're not getting a lot of money. Now, if you have a really, really high income, you're saving a lot of money. So what I'd say is we have much better ways to put more money in people's pockets. So when it comes to the increase in revenues we've seen, well, you know, there's other factors there too. We have a strong stock market. We have people moving into the state. I would argue that we have much better ways of putting more money in people's pockets.
All right, hold that thought. We've got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. What do you want to talk about? Questions, comments, call in.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it. I think that the big question, you know, Representative Carlin talked about it earlier. The questions that he's fielding now back home in Missoula is, okay, hey, what about property tax relief? Because I think most Montanans don't really know what's going to happen, don't really know what to expect. I mean, we hear from one side that says this isn't property tax relief. This is just a property tax shift. And, you know, basically, yeah, the state's cutting your property taxes for your residential, but they're going to hit these businesses, which then you're going to get hit with those increases. And the cities and the counties might just take away a big chunk of that property tax relief anyway. So will people actually see and feel the property tax relief that was delivered by the state of Montana? Either way, what's next? Representative Jonathan Carlin, I think, don't we get the $400 property tax rebate this year? And then when it comes to property taxes, what's next for Montanans? I mean, we kind of got to keep the Department of Revenue has to figure out a whole bunch of things. And then you kind of got to keep an eye on city and county government, right?
So this year, two main things are going to happen: a lower tax rate for most people, and then a $400 rebate. And that rebate application is going to double as your application for the homestead rate. Once you apply, you're done until you move or you change the use of the property. And after this year, so starting in 2026, you're going to get the lower rate every year if you're a Montana resident, no application, nothing like that. And it's a significant rate cut. So on a $500,000 home, it's going to be a rate cut of about 38%. Now, that doesn't translate into exactly a 38% tax cut because it depends on, you know, mill float. It depends on local government, local taxing jurisdictions, how the tax burden shifts to other classes. But we're giving people a tax rate and a rebate, a tax rate cut and a rebate.
All right, very interesting. Hold that thought. Let me sneak in a caller here. And again, the number 406-294-0970 if you want to jump in on the conversation here. Because, I got to have several conversations with both of these gentlemen, and now is your chance. Francis in Big Fork, listening to KJJR. Did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Yes. Oh, you're welcome. And I would like to know why the Democrats, that's just for the Democrats, why every bill they represent has so many millions added to it, and why do they want to spend money so much money that we don't have any money for ourselves? I mean, for a lot of people, and I don't like that. I don't like taxes, and I don't see any reason that they have to raise it. And I want to know why.
All right. Well, let's throw that back to Representative Carlin. Francis, thanks for the call. And then we'll get Senate President Regeer's take on what's next with property taxes as well. Representative Carlin, your thoughts.
Thanks, Francis. I appreciate the question. What I would say is actually most of the bills that my Democratic colleagues brought were not spending bills. I mean, for example, I had bills around health care policy that didn't spend any money. In fact, we were taking the lead, working with Republicans collaboratively on lowering property taxes. I feel very comfortable in saying you're going to have a lower property tax bill this year because of the work of Democrats in legislature in collaboration with our Republican colleagues. And what I would say in terms of spending is that for both parties, you know, we have to spend money to make government work. We have to pave the roads. We have to fund schools. And so the way I see it is that I take the approach of saying, how can we spend money in a way that's as fiscally responsible as possible? And I think that's what we did, again, by working together.
All right. Now, of course, she would follow up by saying, well, but yet Democrats voted against income tax relief. And while there is, you know, residential property tax relief here, there are, you know, other tax hikes that were also included in that package there. And with such massive budget surpluses, why are any taxes going up, frankly, which is, I know, a question a lot of our listeners have raised over the time. Let's go back to Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. Yeah, Mr. President, first off, any response from you from the Republican side? Because, hey, let's be honest, there were several Republicans that voted for some of this stuff as well. That's how it got across the finish line.
Yeah, there was. But to talk real first on that, there wasn't spending. I mean, there was $5 million for swimming pools. I mean, we spent everything this time. We came into this session with an estimated $522 million. That's $500 million in a surplus. And now we leave the session, and we're estimated that in 4 years, the governor is going to have to take mandatory cuts because we're overspent. So it is, it's not true that there weren't spending bills that passed. There were spending bills that passed with 18 Democrats in the Senate and 9 Republicans that had a coalition that started this thing out. That really just spent that $500 million away pretty quick. So I would say that there wasn't a lot of thought into how we were spending money this legislative session. It was, and it's unfortunate. It was more about personalities than it was about the policy. I mean, $5 million for swimming pools. It's let's think this through.
I was talking here. I was talking with Representative Braxton Mitchell yesterday, and he was saying how, you know, there was stuff that, you know, if it was $100,000 in new spending 6 years ago, we would have went through that thing with a comb. We would have been like Star Wars combing the desert. But like now, there's $20 million, and it didn't even get debated. Yeah. It just got passed through because, and so. But what I wonder about this property tax relief is, are people actually going to? So, I know you've criticized the tax plan because it shifts property taxes to people with family cabins or second homes or, you know, Airbnbs and things like that. But even for the residential property taxpayers, what's next? And are they even going to feel and see the relief? Because that's what I wonder is, like, okay, the state can come and say, well, we cut your property taxes. But if people don't feel like they got the property taxes cut, there's still going to be a lot of outrage out there because the cities and the counties can come in and say, nope, we're not going to allow you to have this piece or that piece.
Well, yeah, and the cities and counties can only do so much under 15-10-420 MCA. They can only raise half the rate of inflation, but then there's fees and stuff. So there is somewhat of a ceiling for the locals, but the locals do have a hand in this. But to give an example here, this is from Department of Revenue, Montana Department of Revenue. This is the most recent numbers on what we passed here for property tax. So to Representative Carlin's Missoula County, residential home sites, they will see an 8.91% decrease. Long-term rentals would be 13.13% decrease. So that's the good news. It is a tax shift, and I would imagine Representative Carlin would even admit that. It's just we didn't do anything new. We just shifted on who's paying what. But here is residential ag-related in Missoula is going to be raised by 44.87%. That's huge. Residential other, that is the Airbnbs, if you have a family cabin in Missoula, you are looking at 104.72% increase. That's almost double. So it's, egg timber is 15.56% increase. It really did just shift. That's not, that's, to me, that's just masquerading. It's just shuffling the deck. It's not real reform. Real reform got voted down by the Democrats. We had Senate Bill 204 and 205 that would have held back the spending. Really, it comes down to how much are we going to spend and who's going to pay. Those are the two things that happen no matter what, whether it's local, state, or fed.
Yeah, you know, I saw some headlines here this morning. I think Newsweek has something. I saw it somewhere else about how, you know, Californians are going to get hit with really high property taxes on their second homes here. Okay, you know, I don't think most Montanans will complain about that one. But agriculture, why would agriculture take a hit? In even in Missoula County, I mean, I've been to that Missoula Chamber Ag Banquet, and there are some great folks in agriculture in Missoula. And, you know, Representative Carlin, that's also some of our best open space in Montana. Our best open space and, you know, good environment is thanks to farmers and ranchers. So talk about the concern that that your agriculture base in Missoula County would get hit.
Yeah, great question, because I don't think any party is trying to increase taxes on our great farmers and ranchers. Well, I'll say is that for ag, the actual home site is taxed at one rate, and then the actual agricultural land is taxed at another rate. And so when I look at the models, I don't believe that there's going to be a substantial new factor in the land plus the home site for a resident who is involved in agriculture. They are going to see a substantial tax hike. In fact, I think they'll see a tax decrease depending on the amount of, you know, it depends on, of course, a lot of factors, property value, et cetera. And, you know, I don't have a lot of ag in my district, but working with a lot of my friends across the aisle who do have a lot of ag in their districts, I'm very comfortable that we did not pass a bill that would increase taxes on our farmers and ranchers.
All right. Definitely want to focus on, you know, because we've talked, you know, throughout the session about property taxes and income taxes and things like that. Based on what the governor has now either vetoed or signed into law over the last, just even say a couple of weeks or throughout the session, Representative Carlin, what's some of the other things that stood out to you? And then we'll get President Regeer's thoughts after that.
So one thing that stood out to me is, well, actually, here's a bill that's on the governor's desk. I mentioned, or it's heading to the governor's desk. I mentioned child care. But this would do, it was backed by the Chamber of Commerce, for example, and it will make child care workers eligible for the Best Beginning Scholarship for their own bill, for their own kids, so they can afford to stay in child care. This bill received hundreds of calls from constituents across the state saying that we need to pass this. And that's just a bill. I think it's a good example of how government can play a limited but important role in making child care more affordable. So that's a bill that I hope will get signed and then headed to the governor's desk.
All right. And we'll get President Regeer's thoughts coming up here after this break. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. And then, hey, if we have time, I'll also see if they have a question they'd like to throw at one another. You know, does Representative Carlin have a question for President Regeer? Does President Regeer have a question for Representative Carlin as well? So stand by, back right after this here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Recently, 40 leaders from across the livestock industry convened for the Common Ground Summit in Denver. Their shared mission was to safeguard rural communities and ensure America's food independence and preserve a way of life for livestock producers. Joe Goggins of Billings participated in the event.
I mean, they were there for the greater good, the greater good of the livestock industry. And how do we keep this industry generational? How do we keep this industry and this grass in production? One of the mainstays of this country, the United States of America, is rural America and our ability to produce food, our ability to have our food security, have food independence. And it was brought up many times that this is a national security issue. This is an issue that really we're a superpower, not because of energy, not because of our technology, but it's because of our food. And if we ever lose the ability to feed our people in a good portion of the world, we'll go down in several notches as far as our power on the world stage.
Joe Goggins joined other livestock leaders in identifying six key priorities, including ag-friendly tax policy, improved risk management tools, expanded access to labor, more flexibility for livestock haulers, stronger support for young producers, and advancing innovation and sustainability in livestock production. Visit commongroundsummit.net for more information. I'm Wayne Northline.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in a couple of callers here before we jump back into our conversation with both of our lawmakers here doing this legislative recap today. Ken in the Billings Heights, and then we'll get to Skip in Hamilton. Ken, thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
One thing, you know, the way he explained his tax cut, it seems like it was like this, what is this, something like a hocus pocus? And then what about all our coal severance tax? What are we doing with that? I mean, there should be not only millions, but there should be billions of dollars in that coffers someplace to do a lot of this stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of confused and bewildered.
Well, yeah, that's another reason why we got to keep that coal money flowing in from that beautiful, clean coal, right? And by the way, speaking of coal, the Signal Peak coal mine, the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup, a provision to give them access to more coal to keep that mine up and running did get across the finish line in that one big beautiful bill that passed the U.S. House of Representatives. So that's some good news on that front. But yeah, great questions, great comments. Ken, thanks for the call. Let me go to Skip in Hamilton here as well. Skip, what's your thoughts?
Well, thank you, sir, and it's interesting to hear the three of them together on your program. I'm looking at yesterday's edition of the Beirut Star, and Jonathan, you were one of the authors of this article, along with a combination of legislators, David Beatty, Lou Jones, and Mark Zane, and people like that, and it was it's an interesting article, and you referenced a couple of things I thought I'd ask for you to explain, because I think they're real. And one of them had to do with politics, and what you meant by politics in that article, and it's as if, you know, they're overshadowing some of the things that you would have liked to get done. Would you explain what you mean by politics getting in the way of basically property tax relief, and what the purpose of that article is, because I think it's a good one. Thank you, sir.
Hey, interesting. All right. And that was from Representative Carlin, you said, Skip? Okay, I think that must have been Representative Carlin's. Okay, well, let's go back to Representative Carlin then. Yeah, your thoughts.
Thanks, Skip. Yeah, so that was an editorial along with myself, Dave Beatty, Lou Jones, kind of a handful of Democrats and Republicans. And one of the things we were talking about is on property tax. Part of why it was so hard to pass something was because we had a lot of legislators who didn't want to shift any of the property tax burden back on to some of these industrial taxpayers that received a tax cut. When your home value skyrocketed, other tax classes, railroads, telecommunications, they got a tax cut. We wanted to do real property tax reform, and we saw a lot of legislators who just essentially wanted to give a small rebate and call it good and continue to let those massive corporations get away with having their taxes decreased at our expense. And so that was something that was really frustrating.
All right, and then let's go back to President Regeer here. Continuing down this property tax, I thought the line that Ken in the Billings Heights used was interesting, hocus pocus. Now, agree or disagree with this property tax relief package here. Look, the whole property tax scheme in Montana is just that. It's hocus pocus. Now, first off, when it comes to stiffing, you know, industry with higher property tax bills, well, that just discourages industry, if you ask me. And one of the things we need to do is rebuild our industrial base. That's what's harmed Montana's economy so much over the past few decades, is and why we're so dependent on residential property taxpayers, because they destroyed our industrial base. How are we going to rebuild our industrial base by taxing industry at higher rates? It seems like that would discourage revenue. But with regard to this whole hocus pocus concept, to me, that's why we fundamentally need to reform our whole property tax system and stop taxing people based off of the value of their home.
Yeah, Aaron, I think that's a great point. At one point saw the ripple effect of one lumber mill closing in Eureka, in Lincoln County, and what that did to the property tax base and how that shifted. I mean, you heard Representative Carlin say it is just a tax shift, and I'm one of those legislators that said no, let's not just shift it. One court case on the Canadian Lynx and a logging project that shuts down a mill, and you can see the chain effect here of what that does to the property tax picture here in Montana, and how that ripple effect ripples out. And so this does start way back with activist judges, federal judges that have shut down logging projects. And I remember growing up in the 90s, and at least here in the Northwest, we had these homemade signs that said, "This family supported by timber industry." And they were homemade signs that they spray painted on there. I don't know if you saw those coming up, but those are gone. Those are gone, and the property tax base of going out and getting our natural resources is gone also. And now we're dealing with the effects of that. So, and that is, I think, is something that we don't talk about here in the property tax thing. We're in a tough mathematical situation now of who pays when we have shut down our natural resources, thanks to the Democrats and activist federal judges. So it's,
but you mentioned
that is a problem, and that's,
yeah, you mentioned sawmills. You mentioned sawmills. That reminds me, we wanted to come back and get your thoughts on what are some of the other things that either got signed or vetoed by the governor that stand out to you that you want folks across Montana to know about. Sawmills, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal reported how, I think it was a bill by Representative John Fitzpatrick, a Republican out of Anaconda. He noted that in the early 1970s, Montana had over 50 operating sawmills. We're down to about 5 now.
Yeah.
And so
yes.
House Bill 876 is an effort to try to reactivate some of those closed sawmills. I know it doesn't have a lot of money behind it, but hopefully this and other efforts will bring these back. What are some other bills that stood out to you?
Well, and that one, to that point, I mean, I think it was $5 million. But this is, and I remember last session, we did fire mitigation. We spent money on fire mitigation, quote unquote, and that is really just logging. I mean, we used to, now we're taking taxpayer dollars and spending it to fire mitigate, hence log, when really we used to get money off that. Now we're taking taxpayer dollars and spending money to log. It is totally a reversal of what should be. We should be collecting tax dollars and property tax dollars off of our natural resources, and not spending taxpayer dollars to mitigate fire and manage our forests.
Yeah, that's a good point. They would bring in the money. You didn't have to pay them to log. They would log, and then they would bring in the money at the same time. We had a message from a listener in Jordan, Montana, on the Montana Talks app. If there is $5 million that's going to be spent on swimming pools, we better check and make sure they're actually constructed and that the money's accounted for. yes, we do need a Montana Doge. That was a listener in Jordan. President Regeer, if you had one quick question for Representative Carlin, what would your question be?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say, Representative Carlin, this is fun question to ask Democrats, is where is your spending limit? Where would you say, whoa, that's too much government spending? We should leave that back with the people of Montana, because it seems like there is no ceiling when it comes to Democrat spending, when it comes to Democrat what government can fix the problem. So where would it be that limit?
Yeah, great question. Okay, let's throw that to Representative Carlin. Go ahead, Representative Carlin.
That's a good question, President. Here's what I would say. With any spending proposal, I directly look at it through the lens of, will this improve the lives of my constituents and support the economy? And so I can't give you an exact dollar figure, but what I can tell you is I think we have to look at it in terms of, well, I voted for the Sawmill Revitalization Act. I think you voted against that. That's a good example, though, of how my perspective on that is that will improve our economy. So that is spending where we're going to offer a low-interest loan and in exchange for creating jobs. To me, that's good spending supporting our economy. So for me, it really depends on the issue.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody calculated the numbers. I know in previous sessions, I think the GOP calculated that the Democrats wanted to spend like over $1 billion extra dollars in all their proposed spending requests, but I don't know if anybody calculated the numbers this time around. Representative Carlin, what question would you throw towards President Regeer?
One of the things I've really appreciated about President Regeer is I think he's done a lot to strengthen the legislative branch of government. And so I'd be interested if he has any plans. You know, he's a holdover, so he'll definitely be here next session. If you have any ideas or plans on how can we best strengthen the legislative branch in Montana?
That's an interesting question, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, hold that thought. Actually, do you have a quick response to that, President Regeer, and then we'll come back to you after the break. Do you got a 20, 30-second response?
I don't know if I have a quick response to that. I do. I love our system that we're in, the Montana system. I believe that we're a citizen legislature. I mean, I'm just a construction guy, basically, just to come and make laws for the people of Montana. So I believe in three branches of government, and that is probably a whole hour of conversation.
All right. Well, you got 2 minutes to think more on that, and then we'll come back to you right after this. Stand by.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Doug in Joliet, I'm with you, man. I'm with you, brother. He called in and just wanted to leave a message. He called in a message to our producer, Caden. He says, I know it's too late now, but will they ever eliminate income tax on Social Security benefits? Yeah, you're preaching to the choir there, Doug. We're one of only a handful of states that still taxes Social Security benefits, which is, again, is like, to me, they had this big budget surplus. Why is anybody getting hit with any tax hike? Why didn't we eliminate the tax on Social Security benefits? So, so that one's just beyond me. Deborah, thanks for the message here. She just messaged us on the Montana Talks app. Please answer the question regarding coal money. And, you know, because I think, was it Skip in Hamilton? Actually, it was Ken in the Heights said, where's all that coal money going? If I'm not mistaken, it goes to all sorts of things, libraries, arts, theaters, all sorts of stuff like that. Senate President Regeer, first off, what legislative reforms, if you had to pick one or just an overarching thing, you know, in response to Representative Carlin's question, what would you say?
Yeah, that's a great question, Representative Carlin. And I do think that is something that's bipartisan, that there are three branches of government, judicial, legislature, and the exec. And the exec is supposed to carry out our legislation. We're the legislative branch. That is, we legislate. We make the laws, and the government, or the executive branch, does the day-to-day. So it's I appreciate the question from Representative Carlin, and I am in favor of, I think the legislative branch has given away too much to the executive branch, and we need to stand up for us making laws. I mean, you see that at the federal level as well as the state level. So it's
The RAINS Act.
That is bipartisan.
The RAINS Act in Congress is a great one. I know there was they call it Baby RAINS, the Baby RAINS Act in the legislature. Yep. I think that one got across the finish line, right? So that'll be interesting to see there. Yeah, reining in just, you know, the bureaucracy, whether it's run by Republicans or Democrats, just making sure that the people have the role in that process. All right. Let's see. Let's go to Craig and Kyla. Oh, wait, wrong phone line. Hold on one sec. There we go. Craig and Kyla, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, sir, and this is with all due respect, but with what's going on in the federal government with DOGE, DOGE would not be necessary unless if our representatives up there were doing their jobs, and I'm worried about with this spending here, proposed spending here, that the similar situation will present itself down the line. I'll yield back.
That's a really good point. You could make the argument that we already have a DOGE, a Department of Government Efficiency, in Montana. It's the Montana legislature. It's their job to go in and eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse, and spending and more. Very, very good phone call. Craig, thanks for the call. All right, back to Representative Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula. So, yeah, your question, that was a good one about, you know, what improvements or changes would you make to the legislature? Do you have any that you would make as well?
Yeah, it's something I've been thinking about a lot. One of the things I'd like to see is during the interim, you know, I think a lot of people think of us as we meet 90 days, then we go home. And that's true, but there's also a lot of work that happens between legislative sessions, particularly with overseeing the agencies. And so I'm interested in how can we keep legislators more engaged, make sure that strengthen the oversight function that we perform on agency rulemaking to ensure that when we pass a law, that the agencies are implementing it in a way that fully meets our intent. And so, you know, it's something I'd be interested in working with the Senate President on, potentially, if he was interested in seeing, you know, how can we make sure that the agencies are implementing laws that we pass? And I think property taxes are actually a good example, where we've made a lot of changes. We want to make sure the Department of Revenue, there's a lot of great, hardworking people there. We want to make sure that they implement it in a way that best works for our constituents. So that's just kind of an example of how I think we need to be engaged year-round.
Yeah, especially with these interim committees as well. Exactly. And the coal dollars, was that a decent response that basically it goes to arts, it goes to theaters, it goes to libraries, all sorts of stuff?
Yep, state parks, economic development, wastewater systems, school maintenance. That's exactly right.
Across the board, yeah. Beautiful, clean coal funding, a whole bunch of stuff. All right, let's see. Next up, let's go to Neil in the Flathead. We're just about out of time. Neil, what did you want to share?
I was listening to you guys talk a little bit earlier about the timber industry, and it just kind of reminded me. I grew up in the timber industry running a mill that my great-grandfather had set up. Super awesome. The mill is still being run by the family, but it's more to provide, like, you know, barnwood type material for all the out-of-state scissor bills that want to come in and pay unrealistic prices for timber material. So we're selling a very tiny amount when we should be selling a massive amount of building material. Okay, so the legislation, like these guys that you're on with today, they sound like great guys, but they're all talkers. All they got to do is just get the heck out of the way and allow some of these smaller mills, free up some of this timber for some of these smaller mills to go back in action. Little family-run mill. Go back in action. Get them back out there. Get the family back in the mill. I would love to run a mill.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And, of course, and I know President Regeer would completely agree with you, and that's where, to his point, you know, that's where these far-left federal judges have done so much harm. You know, Judge Malloy, a far-left activist judge in Missoula, I mean, has just decimated the timber industry and the good working-class jobs and revenue that comes with it. And so that's why what's happening in the United States Senate is so important. All right. Hey, Neil, thanks for the call. Representative Carlin, thanks for your time. President Regeer, thanks for your time as well. Appreciate it. Coming up Friday, Attorney General Austin Knutson back from the southern border. He's going to join us for the full hour.